Who's been having a good 2019? Who's got some New Year's resolutions that still haven't happened? I won't tell you what mine are, but... anyway, so it's 2019, here we are. And this morning, I actually want to take the time to talk about a thing called timing. That's pretty cool. Any Back to the Future fans? The flux capacitor? No one knows what that is. And I have to apologize first because if I do slip into an English accent, because last night we were playing Murder Mystery and my character was an Englishman. So I put this character on all night. So if I do slip into this from time to time in the sermon, I do apologize. Anyway, I'll try not for that to come out. Okay, but heading into this new year, I want to talk about timing. And if we really think about our lives, a lot of it involves timing. I mean, who's recently watched the Hopman Cup? Any tennis fans? Like one or two? Oh, there's a few. Yeah, awesome. Great. So think about that. It takes incredible timing to get the perfect shot. I think we'd all agree. What about music? I mean, if you can't keep time, probably get off the stage, you know? Like, you have to keep time. It's not just the drummer's responsibility, it's everybody's responsibility. Amen. That's where all the musicians said, amen. No, but you need to know how to keep time. And then what about surfing? I know there's a few surfers in our congregation. It requires incredible timing. But it's not like surfers go out and they're like, yeah, dude, I'm just going to create the perfect wave. I mean, that would be really cool if you could create perfect waves, but God creates the waves, right? And the surfers go out and they ride those waves. But the timing is absolutely crucial. See, if you wait too long, you miss the wave. And if you're too fast, you get wiped out by the wave, right? You get dunked. So the timing has to be perfect. And we, as Christians, we need to learn how to ride the spiritual waves. And it's kind of, well, I think it's like learning how to walk in the Spirit. Amen? It's always quiet. I just have to get used to it. But instead of trying to create waves, we actually need to learn to ride the waves that are happening right now. So what is God doing right now? Are we on board with that? Or are we actually trying to make our own waves to ride? Quiet again. Okay. So a lot of the time, we have to wait to catch the perfect wave. And I love that song, Waiting Here for You. That's powerful. You know, we're waiting to catch the wave. Here comes a good one. Not this one. Not that one. Here comes another one. Not that one. The one after that. That's the one we're going to catch. And it comes. You get ready. You start to... I don't know if anyone's been surfing, but anyway, you paddle hard. You catch the wave. You stand up and you're like, woo! You're surfing, right? But here's the other thing. You need to learn how to get off that wave without getting wiped out. Am I correct for the surfers? Yeah. So it requires quite a skill. And I'd like to compare that a bit to life. It takes understanding and skill about timing in our lives. So heading into this new year, I thought it would be a good idea if I share about what the Bible kind of teaches us about timing. Amen? And there's this great book called Ecclesiastes. Anyone love that? I love Ecclesiastes. It's full of wisdom. But if you have your Bible here this morning, we're going to open to Ecclesiastes 8, and we're going to look at verse 6. It says this, "For there is a right time and a right way for everything, but we know so little." That's so true, isn't it? You know, let's pray Let's just pray. Lord, I just pray you would open our ears this morning and open our hearts, God, that your word would go forth this morning. Lord, we thank you for an incredible last year. And Lord, we give this year to you. And Lord, we ask that you would have your way in us. May we decrease so that you would increase. Increase our capacity this year. May we become so much more like you, Jesus, in this year. Amen. Awesome. So Ecclesiastes 8:6, for there is a right time and a right way for everything, but we know so little. And who knows, we often get that wrong. I mean, I know in my life, I've totally missed it. I miss it quite a bit. You could just ask Raina. But here's the thing. I've either said things to people the wrong way at the right time, or I've also said things to people at the right time the wrong way. There you go. But there's a rhythm. And most of us would agree that in life there are different rhythms. There is a time when we need to move very fast and go quite quick. It's totally when I'm driving my Yaris. That was a joke. And there is also a time to go slow and take your time with things. But there's this constant kind of rhythm. So knowing when I should go fast, knowing when I should go slow. And yeah, the Bible has a lot to tell us about this. And it's kind of interesting to me to see how many times the word immediately appears in the Gospels. It occurred like pretty regularly. And often Jesus would pray for people, and guess what happens? They were immediately healed a lot of the time. And when he called people to follow him, they immediately left their fishing business and they followed him immediately. It wasn't like, oh, wait, let me think about it. No, they followed him. Paul also had a sense of urgency in his letters. He encouraged us. What did he encourage us to do? Run. He encourages us to run our race. 1 Timothy 6:12, run hard and fast in the faith. 1 Corinthians 9:24, run in such a way to get the prize. 1 Corinthians 9:26, I run straight to the goal with purpose in every step. This is one of my favorites, Philippians 3:12, I run to win. You got to run. But there are times where God wants us to run. And most of us are probably like, oh, but I hate running. I know, most of us do. So here's two questions that we'll be answering this morning. When should I move fast this year? And when should I move slow this year? So I got a few little points. So if you are taking notes, it's helpful. So here we go. Number one, when should I move fast this year? Are you ready? When God tells me to do something. The Bible is full of commands, right? And God actually, he expects us to obey those commands. Now, think about your mom and dad for a sec. Like when they ask you to do something, would you, like if you had a messy room and your mom is like, please clean your room right now, would you answer back and be like, oh, hang on, let me think about that. Let me think about cleaning. No, you would. I'd hope you would go and do it straight away because then you would be in quite a bit of trouble, right? Yet, we say this to God all the time. Like God asks us to do something. Oh, let me think about it, God. Let me think about it. Just do it. But here's the thing, though. Delayed obedience is actually disobedience. When God tells us to do something and we're like, oh, let me think about it, that's actually disobedience. And Mark 1:17 to 18, Jesus said to them, come and follow me. So Simon and Andrew immediately left their nets and followed him. They could have easily have missed their moment, umming and ahhing. But they left their careers. They gave up everything to follow him, and they did it immediately. They weren't like, oh, wait, just let me tie up all the... No, they just dropped it all and went. And when God asks us to do something, our response ought to be immediately. Psalm 119:60, without delay, I hurry to obey your command. And it's kind of interesting because sometimes we associate that word hurry with negativity. It's like, oh, you're always in such a hurry. Well, actually, when it comes to obeying God, we ought to be in a hurry to obey him. Amen? So here's the question. Like, what has God told you to do this year that you still haven't done? I'm just going to tell it. Maybe he told you last year or last week. Has he told you to be baptized? Serious question. Do it this year. Has he told you to spend time with him every day? Do it from now on. Has he told you to tithe? Just start tithing. Has he told you to invite someone to church? Invite them. What are you waiting on? Just do it. It's like the Nike. Okay, so when should I move fast this year? So that's number one, when God tells me to do something. Number two is when I need to ask or offer forgiveness. And isn't this interesting? Did you know that your health can actually be affected by unforgiveness? It is scientifically proven. You can Google it later, but it's actually quite interesting. Like, so if you have unforgiveness, it creates all kinds of health-related issues. But here's the thing. We're not designed as to carry around guilt, and we're not designed to carry around resentment or shame. We're not meant to carry any of that stuff. And Jesus did away with that at the cross. But we always just like to hold on to it. But we have to let it go. I'm not going to sing the song, but just let it go. I probably say this all the time. Just let it go. Don't hold on to guilt about something that you've done. Actually, just let it go and surrender it. Surrender it to the cross. And don't hold on to resentment from what someone else has done to you. Just let that go. You don't need it. Forgive. Forgive that person. Because I can tell you, if you don't let it go, it's kind of eat you up and destroy you. I know, I've been there many times. But it's just about learning to live in full surrender, just letting it go. Amen. So Matthew 5:23-24. So if you are offering your gift at the altar and here, remember that your brother has something against you, leave your gift there before the altar and go. First be reconciled to your brother and then come and offer your gift. Thank you, Jesus. That's a great little thing. So just sort it out quickly. If you've got issues with each other, just sort it out. Just forgive. So here's another question for you. Who do you need to reconcile with? Who do you need to forgive? What relationships in your life need to be repaired? It's gone quiet. So that's number two. When I need to ask or offer forgiveness, move fast, just do it. So my next point number three, when should I move fast this year? When I feel tempted. And I'm not saying move fast into temptation. No, I'm saying move fast to run away from temptation. And this one's pretty obvious. If you're feeling tempted, yeah, just get out of there, run. And it's actually a really good thing to have two tactics, so you can have like preventative measures and then one for emergencies. But when you're in the moment and you're being tempted to do something that is not God-honoring, don't try to argue with it. Because remember, Satan is real. And he's much older than you or I. So he's been arguing many more years. And James 4:7 says this. It says, resist the devil. But what does that even mean? Glad you asked. I'm going to hopefully answer this. But what are you supposed to do when you turn on the TV and there's some ungodly scene tempting you to lust? Resist it? That doesn't mean just do nothing about it. It means run away, flick the channel, skip the scene. Simple. I've actually left the room before because I didn't want to watch certain things. So don't be afraid to run. That's how we resist. 1 Timothy 6:11 says this, run away from all things evil. That doesn't mean you just casually walk away. Oh, there's a temptation. Oh, I might just walk. No, you've run. Get out of there. If you're a struggling alcoholic, don't go to the pub for lunch. Get away from whatever the situation is. 1 Corinthians 10:14 says this, run away from the worship of idols. Idols. I mean, what do you mean? I don't have statues in my house. But let me ask you this. What do you idol in your heart? Do you idolize success? Do you idolize beauty? Do you idolize money? Do you idolize celebrities? Do you idolize music? Anything we put before God is an idol. I mean, we may not have physical idols in the forms of statues, but we often carry around idols in our wallets or on our TVs, computers, phones. They might be parked in our garages, but the Bible tells us to run away from the worship of idols. And I'm not saying it's wrong to have nice things, but don't let those things take the place of God in your life. Amen? 1 Corinthians 6:18 says this, run away from sexual sin. Don't be like, oh, I might get out of here, run. Don't hang out alone with your girlfriend or boyfriend after 11 p.m. Amen? Go home. Yeah. If you don't want to get stung by the bees, run away from the beehive. It's as simple as that. Okay, so that's my third point. Run away quickly from temptation. My fourth thing is this. When God, moving fast this year, move fast when I've made a promise to God. And I bet, yeah, I could probably bet that we've all made some kind of promises to God. And maybe we have made New Year's resolutions that we have probably already forgotten. I definitely have. Ecclesiastes 5:4, when you make a promise to God, keep it as quickly as possible. He isn't happy with foolish people. Do what you promised to do. So here's the question. What promises do you need to fulfill right now? What do you need to fulfill this week? Have you promised to share your faith with somebody? Have you promised to take someone out for lunch and love on them and share Christ? Have you made a promise? How about this one? Have you made a promise to read through the Bible and yet never done it? Or was it a promise to start serving and volunteering, but you haven't started? So I'd encourage you to move fast and keep your promises that you've made to God. So, number five, when should I move fast this year? When I have the opportunity to do good. I think this one's pretty self-explanatory, right? When there is an opportunity to do something good for someone else, just do it. It's the Nike thing again. But there are people in our worlds that need an encouraging word. There are people who need emotional support. And what is our response when we see those opportunities? Just do it. Proverbs 3:27 says, do not withhold good from those who deserve it, while it is in your power to act. Maybe you walk past homeless people. And maybe you're like, oh, you know, one of these days when I'm not so busy, then I'll help them. Just do it. Or you know someone who needs help moving something. Just do it. Help them out. Because I think we are very good at finding excuses, and I think that's one of the most common excuses we have. You know, when things settle down, then I'll get serious about this. When things settle down, then I'll get more involved. When things settle down, then I'll do what God has been telling me to do all these years. Hello in there. Back to the future. Things are not going to settle down. They just keep going. And Ecclesiastes 11:4, this is amazing. If you wait for perfect conditions, you will never get anything done. Let that sink in. There is never a perfect time to become a parent. I looked at Raina when I said that and she just looked disgusted. There is never a right time to get married. And it's kind of funny because I've met many Christians, usually in larger churches, who are so picky about their relationships. They're waiting for that one perfect person. Well, hello, nobody's perfect. And it's kind of funny because I had this massive list of who I wanted to marry, and God pretty much destroyed that list. It was fantastic. No, but in a good way, not in like, not like that. In a good way. If you want more answers, come and see me after, I can explain. No, but I thought I wanted all these things, but God, like, yeah. What about once school settles down, then I'll start going to youth group and reading my Bible? Or once uni has settled down, then I'll come to church and maybe get involved. There is no perfect time for anything. Just choose to commit today. And the challenge is that we would put God first and that Jesus would be first before anything else in our lives. And yes, this does include university and school and career. Jesus has to be above all of that. Let Jesus be the Lord of your life. Keep coming to church. Keep showing up. Keep coming to youth group. Get involved. Keep serving. Don't be like, oh, once things settle down, then I'll do all that stuff. No. Write the book today. Write the song today. Open the cafe that you do it. Don't spend your whole life waiting for the perfect time just to miss it. I mean, I'm going to be studying uni again. There's no perfect time for it, really. And it's so important to run with it now because the truth is no one's actually guaranteed tomorrow. And life is actually so short, and we only have a limited time here on earth. And John 9:4 says this, all of us must quickly carry out the tasks assigned us by the Father who sent me, because there is little time left before the night falls and all work comes to an end. So what is God telling you to do? Is it to invite your neighbor to church? Is it an encouraging word to a colleague? Don't keep putting it off. Just do it. And number six, when should I move fast this year? When God offers salvation. And I don't know about everyone here, but maybe you've been putting off becoming a follower of Jesus. Maybe this is your first time here this morning, or maybe you've been here for years. Don't put it off any longer. Just today, decide to follow Jesus. Maybe you're thinking, oh, one of these days when, yeah, things settle down, then I might decide to follow Jesus. Well, let me say this. Not to decide is actually to decide. When you say not yet, you're actually saying no to Christ. Maybe you've been putting off getting baptized. Well, come this Easter, let it be your year. Get baptized. 2 Corinthians 6:2, it says this, God is ready to help you right now, and today is the day of salvation. Today is the day of salvation. So there's six things, right? And if you are here and like you do want to follow Jesus, like at the very end, I'm going to, you know, create a little opportunity for that, and we can do that. I'll pray with you and help you in that. But just to recap, so there's six things where I should move fast. When God tells me to do something, move fast, right? When I need to ask or offer forgiveness, move fast. When I feel tempted, move fast, like run away from temptation. When I've made a promise to God, move fast. When I have the opportunity to do good, move fast. When God offers me salvation, move fast. So now I just want to quickly talk about when I should move slow this year. Here we go. Proverbs 14:29, it's smart to be patient. So when should I move slowly this year? Okay, here's the first point. I've only got four, so hang in there. It's fine. We'll get through it. Number one is, when I don't have all the facts, move slow. See, our culture is very interesting today because it teaches you to go with your feelings. Like being spontaneous is the cool thing to do. Just let it flow out of you, man. God, being true to yourself, being authentic. It's trending right now. I have a lot of friends who like post videos and they just feel this thing and they just speak whatever. And it's, yeah. So, but we hear this all the time. Just go with your gut. Let me just say that's not a good way to make decisions because who knows, you might have eaten something really rotten and toxic. And you want to go with your gut? Okay, well done. No. You don't want to trust your gut and make an emotional decision. But isn't Hollywood funny? Because it has movies that are like, follow your heart. Just follow your heart. Like it's the most important thing. Well, here's the truth. Your heart actually lies to you. And we lie to ourselves more than anybody. Jeremiah 17:9 says this, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately sick. Who can understand it? You know, I've told myself things were better than they actually were. And I've also told myself things sucked when they really didn't. I've actually played gigs where I felt like I played really bad and other people were like, wow. So don't trust your heart, trust Jesus. And what we really need this year is not to trust our gut. We really need, and we don't need to follow our hearts, but what we need this year is the source of truth, and that is the Word. It's the Word. There's so much truth in here. It's Jesus. Amen? Yeah, so Proverbs 19:2 says this, still without knowledge is not good, and a person who moves too quickly may go the wrong way. So don't be so enthusiastic that you get lost in making the decision that you actually lack the knowledge to properly decide. Proverbs 18:13 says this, to decide before knowing the facts is shameful and stupid. There's a lot of wisdom in Proverbs, huh? And when you are making major life decisions, get all of the facts before you actually decide. Don't just be one of the spur-of-the-moment people. Just slow down when you make those important decisions. Okay, so when else should I move slow? Point number two, when I'm hurt or angry or depressed. Never make major life decisions when you're hurt, angry, or depressed. And I can tell you, almost every decision that I've ever made when I've been angry, hurt, or depressed did not end so well. And I think most of us here could probably, yeah, I think it's 100% true that it's the same for everyone here. So when you do find yourself feeling hurt, angry, or depressed, just take it easy. Slow down. Relax. Clear your head. James 1:19 says, everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry. So here's the thing. Get the facts. And then it says slow to speak and slow to become angry. So move quickly to get the facts, but don't be in a hurry to speak. And sometimes we get that in the opposite. We're quick to speak, and then that makes us quick to get angry. And we're very slow to listen sometimes. Proverbs 14:29, whoever is slow to anger has great understanding, but he who is quick-tempered makes foolish mistakes. Proverbs 15:18, losing your temper causes trouble, but staying calm settles arguments. So my third point, when we got to move slow this year, is when making a major decision. So don't be in a hurry to make major life decisions. Don't be in a hurry to get married. Here's Brody's best dating advice. You ready for it? Go slow. Get to know each other through every season. Because who knows, when you go out on a date, oh, it's just so different, isn't it? You put on nice smelling things, you smell nice, you do your hair, you buy flowers, you open the door, you're like super polite, you talk nicely. But get to know each other in every season of life, and then who you really are shows. Amen. Proverbs 21:29, wicked people bluff their way, but God's people think before they take a step. So whatever major decision you're faced with, just slow down before you make those big decisions and make them carefully and make them slowly. Proverbs 4:26 says, ponder the path of your feet. Ponder the path of your feet, then all your ways will be sure. The word ponder actually means to meditate, to consider. Don't just think for 30 seconds and be like, yep. No, really think about it. This applies to like career moves, ministry, marriage, big financial purchases. Don't just buy something. Think about that. Proverbs 22:3, sensible people will see trouble coming and avoid it, but an unthinking person will walk right into it and regret it later. And I think the best example of this is how we spend our money. I've made some very unnecessary purchases on eBay, and some of those things have never been used, but I was led by the spur of the moment. So I was like, yeah, click, buy. And yeah. So Proverbs 21:5, plan carefully and you will have plenty. If you act too quickly, you will never have enough. That's a really cool one. Plan carefully and you will have plenty. It's called a budget. Amen? No one's like, they're like, oh, there it is. But here we go. What do I need to do tomorrow in order? No, sorry. What do I need to do today in order to be where I need to be tomorrow? And what do I need to do this year to get to where I want to be at the end of this year? It actually takes planning. I know some of us are probably like, oh, I'm not a planning person. It's not my strong, but everyone can plan. I'm not a planning person. I plan. Okay, so number four, when I should move slow, is when waiting for a seed that I've planted to grow. You reap what you sow, and whatever you plant, it comes back to you. And a seed doesn't just grow straight away. It actually takes time. Ecclesiastes 3:1-5 says, there is a time for everything, and a season for every activity under heaven. A time to plant, a time to harvest, a time to scatter, and a time to gather. Everything in this life starts out as a seed. An idea, a dream, actually all of us started as a seed. And unless it's planted, nothing happens. And you can't expect to harvest at the same time as you plant. So if I plant an apple tree, it's not going to grow overnight, is it? It's going to take a while to come back to me. And it's going to be in a different season to when I planted it, that it's going to come back. So Ecclesiastes 11:6, keep on sowing your seed, for you never know which ones will grow. Perhaps they all will. Isn't that encouraging? So what kinds of seeds will you sow this year? Will you plant seeds of love, generosity, patience, kindness? Whatever you plant, actually, it comes back to you. And you know what else is cool about the apple tree? It's not going to give me just one apple, is it? It's not a trick question. No, it's not. No, it's going to give me a whole tree. That's great. And maybe you have been planting and you've been doing all the right things and you are feeling discouraged for whatever reasons, because you haven't seen the harvest yet. Well, hang in there. The harvest is coming. Habakkuk 2:3 says this, God says, at the time I have decided, my words will come true. You can trust what I say about the future. It may take a long time, but keep on waiting. It will happen. Amen? So there are times where we need to go fast and times where we need to go slow. And we need to learn to actually trust in God's timing. So here's a little prayer for 2019. It's from King Solomon. It's found in 1 Kings 8:58. It says this, may God keep us centered and devoted to Him, following the life path He has cleared, watching the signposts, and walking at the pace and rhythms He laid down for our ancestors. Amen. So that's all I've got for us this morning. But I would like to do this. If you are here this morning and I was talking about move quickly to receive God's salvation, because that is the best thing you can do, is to open up your heart and receive Jesus. He makes all the difference. So if that is you this morning, I'm just going to pray a prayer, and you can say that after me in your heart or out loud. It doesn't, just open your heart to Jesus. So I'm just going to lead us in a prayer with that now, and then after that we're going to sing a song and we're going to close the service, okay? So let's bow our heads and pray. Thank you, Jesus, that you died on a cross for me, that you took all of my guilt and shame, and you broke the power of sin. I come to you now and open my heart and ask you to come into my life. I say I'm sorry for my sins and ask for your forgiveness. And from this day on, I choose to follow you. In Jesus' name, amen.